Welcome to Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black. And we're on 97.9 WCHL. And I am with Eileen Farrell, who is the executive director of the Stroud Roses Foundation, and Lisa Stuckey, who is the president of the board this year. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you, Fred.
And this last week, we talked a lot about what the organization does process-wise. And I want to start this show by asking you, Lisa, you've been involved in a lot of things in this community. You've been on the school board. You've very much involved with what we call the fabric of this community. How do you see us helping the community with these Stroud Roses grants?
Well, we are, as far as I know, the only local foundation that invests just in Chapel Hill Carrboro nonprofits. And so we have a hand in a lot and a surprisingly large number of things that are going on in our community. And the kinds of organizations that we help support help children in educational enhancements, helps some of our more senior citizens, works with organizations that deal with animals, immigrant communities, sort of name it, we are helping mm-hmm. folks out here locally.
And one of the things, as a board member, and I should mention that I am on the board, one of the things I've noticed, too, and maybe you'll want to say, either of you can pick up on this, is we have been right there as needs have evolved in the community. When we first started, no one turned in a grant for a garden. And we know why that changed. You want to talk about the gardens? Because we got all sorts of gardens.
Yeah, one great example of a garden is handled through the North Carolina Botanical Garden, but it's a garden that's managed by UNC staff. Oh, yeah, the Carolina Campus Community Garden. It's managed by students and staff and faculty at the university. And the model is that the folks that work on campus can come and pick up fresh fruits and vegetables at the garden, and they work in the garden. And it's right on the edge of campus and Chapel Hill, and it's a great opportunity for students and staff.
And it's very therapeutic, I'm told.
Yeah, and they have bees there now. It's a great place. And that, again, was just sort of a vision that someone had for there's a need for affordable and healthy food. We've got some land that's available. How can we work together to collaborate, kind of break down some of the silos of the university and get students and staff to work together and provide a service?
Yeah, and I think we've supported at least three gardens. And one of the things we learned when we got that first grant is dirt is not cheap. And that was an eye-opener to me. I mean, you hear that expression, something's dirt cheap. Well, no, it isn't, not if you want to grow good crops. And none of these folks had tools. So that's an example to me of how you're serving a need that probably didn't exist when we first got started. Talk a little bit about the youth organizations. And I know Lisa dealt with this at the school board, too. But what happened in our community with all these spurts of youth organizations?
Well, I think one of the great things was that so many different people were interested in helping the youth. But for us, it created a little bit of a conundrum in that we were receiving applications from organizations that were doing the same thing. And I know that this, for Fred, was a little bit frustrating. And so we've been working with Youth Forward to bring together all of the organizations.
Because we funded a survey to find out every single organization that was directly or indirectly impacting youth.
Yes. And
that was an eye-opener.
Right. And there are a lot of them. And so we helped support the foundation of Youth Forward, which is an organization that brings these groups together so that they can communicate with each other and meet a multitude of needs, but hopefully not be overlapping mm-hmm. So much.
Coordinate their events and activities.
Right. Yes. And Fred, actually, I think you served on that board
for a
while.
Yeah, that board. I'm finished on that board. But it's an amazing example of what's happened in this community because some would argue we don't pay enough attention to our youth. And so school programs aren't the only thing that we offer. We have all sorts of other organizations trying to do things. And Eileen, when you look at this variety of organizations, one of the questions that we've all been faced with, at least trying to answer, is, why don't you just give all your grant money to one kind of thing instead of being a smorgasbord of different kinds of activities? How do you react to that?
I think the way that the board and the foundation have operated for now 15 years is very intentional. The board intentionally funds a lot of different social issues and types of populations because that's what makes Chapel Hill Carrboro such a rich, diverse community. And yes, there will always be a need for affordable housing and for education, but the arts and culture also need to be supported by foundations. If you asked one of our founding board members this question, he would say when the foundation first got started, they looked at themselves as sort of a mini United Way in that the foundation funds were available for whoever sought out the funds, and the board would be open to the possibilities of funding all different types of needs and programming and populations. And I think that's one of the strongest things about Stroud Roses.
Well, that's an excellent answer, because I remember once somebody basically said to me, and we were at a social function, we have all these hungry people in our community, and you're giving money to a symphony. And I tried to give – I didn't do as good a job as you did in trying to answer it, because I was kind of caught off guard that we're sort of – doing a lot of different things. And culture is important in the development of our community, just like feeding the hungry or housing the homeless and helping to educate children and provide outside activities. I mean, the foundation funded child care playground, for example. Somebody say, well, gosh, there are other child care centers that want to get started. So why didn't you fund them?
Yeah. Well, one example would be there was a child care center that needed to repair their fence. And if the fence wasn't repaired, they wouldn't be accredited.
They could lose their license.
Those are young children and parents that would be scrambling to find.
Yeah. So awareness becomes very key that people know. And the website, of course, we'll talk about that. Word of mouth, and it seems like people do find out there's somebody who will give you some money if you ask. So those are kinds of things that I think all nonprofits come to discover. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, I know you have some exciting news to share about something that's coming up very, very quickly that we hope has a major impact in the community and also thanks the community. So this is Nonprofit Showcase, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black, and 97.9 FM WCHL, and Eileen from the Stroud Roses Foundation, who's the executive director, and Lisa Stuckey, who is the president of the board, are with us. And tell us what's exciting that's going to be happening involving Stroud Roses here shortly.
We are celebrating our 15th anniversary this year. So the foundation got started in 2001, and the first grants to nonprofits were awarded in November. So our 15th anniversary celebration is happening on October 16th. It's a Sunday from 3 to 5 p.m. in the Gene Stroud Community Rose Garden.
And that's the one right off of Estes, across the street from the post office and across the creek from what was Pizza Hut.
That's correct. That's where some of the overflow parking will be.
Okay. So what happens at a 15th anniversary party?
Just a lot of hopefully people reconnecting and celebrating.
So you're going to invite all the people that have been given grants?
Yeah. So all our nonprofit grantees, past and current, will be invited. Both mayors of Chapel Hill and Carrboro will be presenting our proclamations, so they will both be proclaiming October 16th as Stroud Roses Day and offering their support. We'll have a couple of music performance groups perform that have received grant funds from us, and it'll just be...
Will there be food?
There will definitely be food.
And soft drinks or tea?
Yes, sweet tea, lemonade and water.
Water?
Will be served, yes.
Yeah, we can't serve much else. And this is by the fountain, in front of the gazebo, that whole area. Will there be roses still on the bushes then?
The roses should be beautiful in mid-October. The heat of the summer will be gone, and they usually perk right back up. And I was in the garden yesterday, and some of the rose bushes are taller than I am.
And so by the way, who maintains the garden?
We are so grateful for Witherspoon Rose Culture.
Most people in the roses around here know.
Yeah. So they've been taking care of the garden for many, many years. We're also incredibly grateful for the town of Chapel Hill to allow us to use their land to provide by the garden.
And they actually do the scheduling for...
They do. So one thing I want to make sure the public knows about is that the Jean Stroud Community Rose Garden is a free and public space for all the towns to enjoy. So if you are thinking about planning a wedding or a baby shower or a Mother's Day photo shoot, a nonprofit board retreat, it's a great space that all you need to do is submit a $100 refundable security deposit and you can have an event there for free. And we work with the Parks and Rec Department to schedule those events.
I remember there was a preschool graduation in cap and gowns one day.
That's correct.
And these little kids out there, their first of many graduations, right?
Mm-hmm. And so, I think it might be nice to just share that we have, that there are in the garden 350 or so rose bushes, and I think 120 different varieties.
You counted?
Roses, well, and some of those rose bushes have become fairly unique over the years. They were Jean Stroud's bushes, and they're...
So they're legacies,
they're
basically.
They're legacy flowers, some of them, yeah, and... in the spring particularly and in the fall, it is glorious to visit the garden.
Yeah.
People should go.
And I know when we were there last fall looking at it, it was just spectacular because the weather had broken mm-hmm. and we had just conducive conditions. And we'd replaced the dirt, too. And so the soil was really, really doing a great job with all those roses. And Lisa, one of the things you didn't mention about all those roses is we try to help people tell what they are
right,
with
there are,
signage.
Yes, there
but
are.
But what happens?
There are signs that identify every bush. And we have found over the years that really people are asked to not pick or cut the roses that would destroy the garden. And people do not. But the one little prank that seems to occur occasionally is that the signs identifying the bushes are moved.
Yeah.
It's causing some confusion.
So if you see a red beauty sign on a yellow rose, you know somebody has mm-hmm. switched the signs.
But periodically, we restore the signs to their correct place.
So we have a big map, right?
Yes, sir. There's also a lot of famous names in the garden, like Barbara Bush and Queen Elizabeth and Betty Boop and Abraham Lincoln. So I think some people gravitate towards those names if they want to play some tricks on us.
Yeah.
But on any given day, if you go to the garden, you'll see kids riding their scooters through the garden. You'll see folks meditating or exercising, doing yoga. It's just a great space to...
Well, didn't you have a yoga event not too long ago?
We did. So this year, we try to do several different events in the garden to get folks refamiliarized with this as a resource. So we've done a yoga session in the morning there. We did an Adopt-a-Dog event with Paws Forever, which is one of our nonprofit grantees. We did a Stop and Smell the Roses event where David Pike from Witherspoon Rose Culture came and talked with folks about the roses and the history of the garden. So it's just we're trying to just give back to the community and give folks that space and time to reflect on.
And educate if we can.
Exactly.
A little bit of education.
Yes, because there are roses, everything from climbing rose bushes to tiny little
miniature
roses
bushes.
to tall ones and short ones. It is just beautiful.
And I think the fact that it's respected by the population says a lot about who we are as people. I mean, mm-hmm. people love the roses. And I know some folks who walk that Bowling Creek Trail, and when they get to that point, they'll rest and look at the roses before they turn around and do, what is it, 3 miles back or whatever?
Yeah, there's a very lovely gazebo to sit in the shade and a very beautiful fountain. So.
And we also have some literature that you can take to read about the rose garden. And this event is what day again, Eileen?
It's Sunday, October 16th from 3 to 5.
And we've already put in the request for outstanding weather.
Yes, so the rain location would be Binkley Baptist Fellowship Hall. And one other thing that's related to our anniversary in the Rose Garden, and I'm very excited about, and Lisa and I have gotten a sneak peek of it, is Elaine O'Neill, who's a fabulous local textile artist, is creating a textile of the Rose Garden. And we were able to go to her studio in Hillsborough a few weeks back and check out her sketch of the Rose Garden, and it is beautiful. It's a very unique perspective of what the garden represents, and I think folks will be excited to see the prints, and they'll be able.
Well, people have seen her artwork on calendars and books and posters and other things, and that will just be an additional. Solidifies the community together.
Yeah, and I feel like okay, now we're gonna have a textile, so we made it. We're now at Chapel Hill Landmark.
Yes. and she does such beautiful work. Can anybody just come if they're interested? Or is it by invitation only?
Folks will be receiving both print and digital invitations. But if you're listening now and would like to join us, you can email admin, at stroudroses.org and just provide your name and email address, and we'd be happy to have you.
Well, that's great. We're going to take another break, and then we'll be right back and finish this session with some other information that our listeners may be interested in learning. And you know, we could go on for hours, of course, but we'll be right back. And this is Nonprofit Showcase with your host, Fred Black. Welcome back to Nonprofit Showcase. This is your host, Fred Black, and we're talking with Stroud Roses Executive Director Eileen Farrell and Board President Lisa Stuckey. And, of course, we're right here on 97.9 WCHL. And Eileen, you were just telling us about the great 15th anniversary celebration. Didn't we do one of these once before, Lisa?
We did. We did one to celebrate our 10th anniversary
five years ago. So that was 5 years ago.
Yes, and it was great. The weather was perfect. The roses were beautiful. We had some food and some drink and great folks.
Big turnout, too.
Very big turnout. And I think, it seemed very fun and I had a great time. So I hope others will come this time and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, and one of the things I think is special is when you can have music at an event like this being played by organizations that you have supported. And it gets back to this whole community concept that arts and culture is just as important as some of the other things that we use money to support. Eileen, if somebody wanted to help, what are the ways they might be able to do that?
There's quite a few ways folks can help. One thing that we tried to do last year that we'll definitely do again this year is just raise awareness of philanthropy in general, particularly around Giving Tuesday, which is a national and international movement to encourage philanthropy in whatever way you can provide that, whether it's through service and volunteerism, through serving on a board, or through donations. So Giving Tuesday this year is November 29th. And one thing that Stroud Roses did in relation to Giving Tuesday is encouraging folks to give locally. Oftentimes when you hear about philanthropy and this community in particular, we have a lot of folks that are retiring to Orange County. And oftentimes retirees will continue to contribute to the communities where they came from. So I'm just trying to raise awareness that folks are members of this community. We're hoping folks will consider Chapel Hill Carrboro as their new home or their permanent home, and they can give either to the 785 nonprofits that exist in Orange County, or if folks have a hard time really narrowing down where to give, I hope that they'll consider Stroud Roses. Because, again, the beauty of the work that we do is we award grants to a multiple array of different types of organizations. We've already mentioned related to affordable housing, immigration, education and youth and seniors and arts and culture. So one thing that is constant in an ever-changing world and ever-changing community like Chapel Hill Carrboro is that Stroud Roses will always sort of be the pulse of what the needs are in the community. So the needs may change, but we'll be reacting to those because that's the types of applications that we receive.
That's an excellent point.
It's a great snapshot for us and for the community to see, okay, if we're getting a lot of proposals that are asking for funds to support operating or to support gardens or affordable housing or diversity and education related to diversity, that
it tells us something. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be sure to know that Stroud Roses is an organization that they can trust and will be sure to put that money right back in the hands of the nonprofits that are a part of this community.
Lisa, do you have a point?
Well, I would just invite people to take a look at our website if they have questions, to give Eileen a call or any one of the board members.
And the numbers are on the website.
Yes, everything is on the website.
And I thank you both. I mean, this has been a lot of fun. And this is Nonprofit Showcase, your host, Fred Black, and we'll see you next time.